Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit Zurich.ie to find out more.
As Russian strikes on Kyiv intensify and a new curfew is enforced, three European leaders are in the city today meeting President Volodymyr Zelensky. The Czech, Polish and Slovenian prime ministers said the meeting was to confirm the unequivocal support of the entire European Union for the sovereignty and independence of Ukraine. Meanwhile, the European Council has agreed the latest round of sanctions on Russia, which includes denying Russia most favoured nation status and an EU export ban on luxury goods. And Mairead McGuinness, EU Commissioner for Financial Stability, Financial Services and Capital Markets, the Capital Markets Union, joins me now. You're very welcome, Mairead McGuinness, to the programme. Can I get your reaction, first of all, because we have an awful lot of things to discuss, but can I get your reaction to the confirmation that an Irish man working for Fox News has been killed in Kyiv, Pierre Shoshevsky, and his fixer as well, his colleague Alexandra Kuchinova, that information given to us just moments ago. What is your reaction to that very sad news?
Well, good evening. I mean, I've been following it literally from listening to you. I'm here in Brussels. So I think the reaction is you're just numbed by the fact that, first of all, journalists are important. The work they do is vital during war. And I think many feel they're invincible. And sadly, in wartime, they're not. So our thoughts, obviously, are with his family and colleagues. But so many people have died needlessly or been murdered needlessly in this war, including the desperate destruction of an entire country. But it brings it home. I think the Taoiseach has already summed up thoughts of Irish people. But if you looked, I think it was today or yesterday, the confirmation of the death of a woman carrying a baby. Yeah. She was carried out of that hospital and we didn't know what happened to her. And in fact, the details are horrific. So I will spare us all that. But herself and her baby are gone.
But your point is well made. It is tragedy upon tragedy, which begs Europe's door, European Union's door, mm-hmm. not more than 20 kilometres away was there a strike within the territory of the European Union. So my question to you really is, as more sanctions are announced today by the European Union, I just wonder, will they work and how quickly they will work?
Well, they're working already. And I think that we have perhaps overlooked their impact because the Russian economy is in free fall. Their bonds are now rated junk. They don't have access to some of their reserves, which are frozen here in Europe. And if you look at what's happening even outside of our sanctions, many companies are deciding themselves to pull away from anything to do with Russia. And it's not because we want to hurt Russian citizens, but we want to hurt the war machine. And we are doing that, and it is very effective.
But it's not stopping every the slaughter, time, is it?
Well, look, we wish that it could, but we are certainly cutting off the supply chain to the weapons that cause the slaughter. And we are doing many other things as well, including humanitarian assistance to the countries closest to those receiving refugees. I've just come from a meeting with the finance minister from the Czech Republic. And, you know, he's describing to me, and I think maybe in Ireland we haven't a full sense of that because we are further physically away. But his words were very piercing. He said, we know what it's like to be invaded by Russia, and it is a duty that we look after people who are fleeing from the war. And in one sense, what's happening here in Brussels, and it's happening right across the world, the free world, is there is a recalibration of priorities because everything that we thought was going to run smoothly post-COVID has been turned on its head. Supply chain disruption, which we were hoping to see, be fixed post-COVID, is now deeper. Energy prices are escalating.
We'll
we are hugely
prices.
Concerned about food prices.
Without question, and food security and so on. But I want to ask mm-hmm. you about the European Union's position and what it's actually doing to try and wield its influence to stop the slaughter of civilians. This visit today by the Czech, Polish and Slovenian prime ministers, it seems to me to be a ratcheting up on the EU's part in terms of engagement. What is the hope behind this visit?
Well, I'm not privy to why the leaders would have gone, but I think it reflects what you just said. I mean, they're near neighbours, they understand very well, and they are there in support. And I hope that it really focuses minds, although it's been difficult to see any focusing of minds from the Russian side.
I thought they were going with the blessing of the European Council and also the Commission.
Yeah, but they're there now, and they're there because they're European member states.
So what
and
do they hope to achieve is my question.
Volumes.
If they're going with the blessing of the Commission and the Council.
I believe that what they will be hoping to achieve and will have already achieved is by being on the ground, intensify the sense of solidarity, a message to Russia that, you know, there is a European response here. But there's more than that. Tomorrow I meet with the US and the UK. We'll be talking about full implementation of sanctions, coordinating, making sure that there's no place for escape so that those oligarchs who are sanctioned have no refuge. And we are doing huge amount of work. This is our fourth package we've announced today. The amount of
and
work,
yet
and
the
I commend
slaughter continues, and I discuss this.
Well,
and I say this. I ask you this with respect, because I discussed this with the Minister for Defence, Simon Coveney, recently, mm-hmm. and my question was very simple. We are watching every single night on news reports the slaughter of civilians, and we are hearing of sanctions, yet again, more sanctions from the European Union today, and they are welcomed across the board. But my question is there a line at which the European Union says we have to stop the slaughter of civilians now?
I think one of the things you've omitted from your question is that the slaughter is being carried out by Russia, and that the response we are taking is appropriate as a European Union that doesn't have yet a common security and defence policy which would allow for anything other than what we're doing. But equally, while Ireland is doing on the humanitarian side, other member states are providing weapons to Ukraine. So we are as perplexed as every other citizen listening to this programme are about the slaughter by Russia of citizens
perplexed.
In Ukraine.
Is the Commission in consultation with NATO?
Well, our role is the European Union. You have to talk to NATO about issues that are pertinent to NATO.
But this is
and
on the European Union's door. I mean, is the Commission consultation
Cormac,
with NATO?
Cormac, I understand that very well. So I'm on this programme to discuss our approach on sanctions and to really stress to get an understanding across here that what we're doing is the biggest and the most impactful package of sanctions ever, and there will be more as is required. I listened carefully to your other interviews and understanding the impact of higher energy prices on citizens, not just in Ireland but across the European Union. We're trying to inflict maximum pain on Russia and minimise the impact on ourselves, but we have to be honest. There will be pain on citizens in Europe, and we have to work hard collectively to put in place measures which will address that pain. And indeed, you discussed some of those earlier in the conversation.
And we'll definitely get to sanctions or the inflation in just a second, because it is extremely painful. And I know you're a former journalist. I know that you straight away think of the impact that this will have on the average household right across the European Union, but in our case, in Ireland. But I do have to ask you once more, if I may, because this is an historic moment on the continent of Europe. And I just wonder what else, apart from sanctions, the European Union is looking at. Is there consultation with NATO? Is there discussions around any red lines? Would the use of chemical weapons on civilians be a red line? What would happen in the event of a strike by Russia on EU territory? It went very near it.
Well, look, you dragged up my past profession as a journalist, and I suppose what I'm hearing in your question is a question I might ask were I in your shoes. But I have to turn this around and be very clear about this. NATO countries discuss NATO issues with one another. The European 27 discuss European issues with one another. But you do raise a very important question. If there is a further escalation, what do we do? And the truth of all of this is that while we hope there won't be, we have to remain flexible and agile.
And prepared.
But we don't have a European army. We don't have that capacity. And I don't think we want to fight a war. We want to stop a war.
I understand, but do you have red lines?
Costs. Well, look, we've crossed red lines. I mean, the fact that
they?
Russia invade. But Cormac, with respect, the red line has already been breached. Russia invaded Ukraine. You were discussing, and I've heard the CSO figures about fertilizer prices. These were in January before the war broke out. Now we're in a much deeper situation. The red line was when the Russian tanks crossed into Ukraine, and we have responded in every way that Europe can and must respond, working with allies. And maybe that's part of the discussion that hasn't been fully appreciated, is that we're not alone. We're working with the UK and the US and Japan and Canada and Australia. And there is a concerted effort that we do everything we can to avoid further bloodshed, notwithstanding your very valid point that Russia is deaf to our pleadings, if you like. We hope that some of the peace talks which are happening will yield results. Mm-hmm. Because frankly, you know, the scenario that we are facing as citizens of Europe is quite concerning. And we're trying to be very open with each other, with citizens, as to how things are today, mindful that things could be more difficult tomorrow.
Can I ask you, Commissioner Murray McGuinness, about what you alluded to some moments ago, and that's the effect of all of this on inflation. And I know you expressed concern at the ECOFIN meeting about the impact on farming and food specifically. And we've been talking about on this station from this morning, the fertiliser prices rocketing by 127%, I think. The price of gas, the price of electricity. People are pleading to us, what can be done? Can the European Union do anything for Irish households to alleviate this pain?
Well, the first thing we're doing is we're pulling together every possible options here, because I mentioned earlier that this problem existed before the war. Fertilizer prices had gone up 127% in January. The war has exacerbated it because we're not taking fertilizer from Russia or Belarus. So we have a supply constraint and we will have a price response. And I heard the farm leaders in Ireland, you know, making very strong pleas about what might be possible. We have to look at the common agriculture policy. When I was still a member of the European Parliament, I think it was 07 or 08, we had commodity price hikes and I wrote a report on food security. I think, you know, I was on the ground with Chagas and the IFA 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago at this stage. And at that point, we were looking at how do we really harness resources in a more efficient way. But clearly, my biggest concern is that there are global impacts. So this morning with finance ministers, I expressed a concern about commodity prices impacting on food insecure countries in Africa and elsewhere. And that was a point taken up by several ministers of finance. So the micro problems we are concerned about are global as well. And there are no easy solutions
but we have to find ways. I'm sure you're aware that one easy solution or part of a solution has been raised in the Dáil consistently now over the last few weeks and months by Sinn Féin especially. They say that the government could cut almost to zero VAT on fuel. But the response from government time and again is that there are European Union rules that prevent us from doing this. Can you settle a bet for me here? Who's right and who's wrong here?
I mean, there are rules around VAT, so I think that that's a fact. I think on energy and what we can do, rather than me debate or get involved in a debate that's more appropriate to Dáil Éireann, and I won't wade in there, I think it's really important to understand that the finance ministers meeting today and yesterday realised that they need to coordinate. So I would anticipate that there will be a deeper coordination, and to some extent it reflects maybe back to COVID, and you know, that crisis seems so manageable given to what we're dealing with now. But in the beginning, there wasn't coordination. I think now there is very strong realization that unity is our strength and that if we coordinate the fiscal measures in member states, we will have a much better response, notwithstanding that it is a very difficult time. So we're looking at issues around state aid rules. Well, I think we look, nobody's going to have a referendum when there's a war close to European soil. I mean, we're going to be a little bit more focused
but
than that.
But changing fiscal rules might require a referendum, would they not?
Well, I think you're going down a rabbit hole with all due respects to that question. I think what we are focused on is finding ways where we can alleviate pressure on companies that are particularly impacted by energy price hikes and sectors, including agriculture. We're also looking at households. So you will see more work being done on this, including on state aid rules, more flexibility, looking also at whether there needs to be additional guidance on the possibility to regulate prices in these particularly exceptional circumstances. So there's a lot of guidance at Commission level, which are granular and effective. But again, can we mitigate 100% what's happening as a result of this war? Mm-hmm. The truth is we cannot. So we have to be focused and we have to target. And we shouldn't and cannot allow this terrible war, as you said, with such horror and death and destruction, allow us to lose a sense of purpose and unity. And that's not easy, but I have to say, and I'm responsible for sanctions, both the writing of them and the implementation of them. I have found incredible strength around the table. The 27 are very united and focused, and that will continue, and it has to continue. We have to win this war.
Okay. Commissioner Murray McGuinness, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme. I know you're busy, so I really appreciate it. Thank you.